You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon and welcome to The Weekend. And join us this afternoon are Tanya Chauset, Pablo Bustamante, and Mary Beth Stevens, and they're here to talk about Metropia. And if you're wondering, well, what is Metropia? Is that a new sci-fi novel or is that the new fantasy movie, Game of Thrones? It's a lot more interesting than that, and we're going to talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
So let's start with you first, Tanya. What is Metropia?
Well, Metropia is an app, the goal of which is to reduce traffic. And it's a very simple idea behind it. The idea is that there are a few number of people who have a flexible schedule. And if we could get those people to move their travel times up either 5 or 10 minutes earlier or later, we could reduce traffic greatly for everyone.
So traffic is something that, you know, we all have to deal with, but it's not until recently, I think, that El Pasoans, we've had to like, what? And for a long time, we say, oh, my gosh, it's so congested, even if we have to wait like 20 minutes, which is nothing if you live in Houston, New York, L.A., something like that. But what you were mentioning about getting people to adjust their schedules, how would that make a difference, and how did that come in playing a role in developing Metropia, the app that we're going to talk about in a bit?
Well, Metropia was started by Yi Chang Chu. He's our founder. He was a traffic engineering professor here at UTEP for 4 years. And so that's his connection to the El Paso region. And what he realized is that the region is growing so quickly that the traffic is just increasing by leaps and bounds. And so through the work that he has studied and some of his published research, he realized that a better way than just building out infrastructure, which costs millions or even billions of dollars and takes years to do, an easier way is really just getting people to change their schedules a little bit. And so we know that not everyone has a flexible schedule, but if you can leave maybe 5 or 10 minutes earlier in the morning, it can greatly reduce the time that it takes you to get from point A to point B.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, joining us also is Pablo Bustamante, and Pablo is an engineer who is one of the people behind this app, Metropia. And Pablo, tell us a little bit about what Tanya was touching on, the fact that, you know, people were getting frustrated with the traffic. So tell us about this development and what was behind all this.
So the main reason behind all of this is that there's going to be an increase in demand as years go by. There's never going to be a stop to that. So the whole idea behind transportation engineering as a whole is that we want to suit the demand for the growing years. And more than anything, we wanted to change the behavior of that growing demand. We want to, in a sense, not only educate not only the El Paso community, but other communities that there's actually other alternatives to the one that we have right now. We want to be a solution to that specific place that we're working in. And we want, more than anything, to focus on aspects that we don't really sometimes focus on, which is, you know, reduce carbon dioxide emissions. We want to, more than anything, keep everyone's mental stability safe, because I know that personally when I'm in traffic, I just lose my head and I'm in a bad mood. And when I get home, I'm just in a bad mood, and everyone around is going to be affected by it. So more than anything, we want to give El Paso an alternative that I know this is going to keep happening, but here's our solution. And if we can all work together towards that solution, then we're all going to be eventually happier.
So what happens with as far as, you know, we were discussing this before the program started, that just about everybody has a smartphone and uses apps for various things. And some people might wonder, well, why doesn't somebody come up with an app for this? Why doesn't somebody come up with an app with that? So can you tell us or share with us a little bit about what goes behind developing an app?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess the back screen to it all. I would say, I'm the full-time engineer for the El Paso metropolitan city. In and of itself, there's about 25 of us working constantly. I would say about 70% of them are full engineers that we work about between 50 to 60 hours weeks, that we're just constantly monitoring traffic and trying to find better ways to adjust to these demand, the demand I talked about earlier. I can talk about on and on about all the different tools that we use, because there's quite several of them. We've implemented a bunch of data mobility analyzers from in-house. Then We work a lot with Indrix feeds nationally. We work a lot with geographical location that is free and available from the internet, but we modified it towards our system, and we included geographical IDs to all of them. So that's a little bit of how it works. We keep monitoring all of those, all of the corridors in El Paso, and put it into our system. We keep speed profiles of all the streets and try to recommend the users to take certain routes or leave at certain times, because we're trying to study, more than anything, get a pattern of how traffic works, and we want to change that pattern.
The results that you've gotten so far from the research you've done, have things changed drastically on El Paso traffic patterns, or is this something that's changes every day, depending, I guess, on whether there's an accident or not?
There's a lot of accidents in El Paso, unfortunately. But the good thing is that given that El Paso is not very complex compared to other cities, there's only four main corridors that are used primarily here in El Paso. So that helps us with the analysis and the study of everything that we do for our system. But I have seen significant increase in, for example, the amount of requests in routes or anything of the sort within our app, that has diminished a lot. So once we started implementing and actually getting the behavior of the El Pasoans correct, we implemented it and I saw a great difference in it.
Joining us also is Mary Beth Stevens, and Mary Beth is the advisor for Metropium. Mary Beth, from what Tanya and Pablo have been sharing with us, tell us a little bit about what is it that you want to get out to El Pasoans, and or what are some of the things that perhaps, if you've gotten any response yet as far as people wanting, because unfortunately we all want something yesterday. And if it doesn't happen, we get upset, you know, trying to get in the right lane, trying to get in the left lane. And this is something that is you discussed before the program started. You all have been working on this for a while. And the ultimate goal is to have El Pasoans not have a big traffic jam all the time.
Right. One of the things I'd like to point out that's different about Metropia and how it is a really enables people to be part of the solution, it's about planning. It's a tool that people use. It has all of the components of any other navigation app of how to get to point A to B, but that's not really its purpose. It will do that, and sometimes it will give you a very different route based on conditions that you may not have known about, which has been proven to be very valuable, and we've gotten very positive feedback from people on that. But what it's about, it's planning. So even if you take the exact same route every single day from point A to point B, which most people do, going to and from work, that's when we want you to use it. Because what you put in, basically you put in your route while you're having coffee in the morning, and then it gives you options of in 15-minute increments of what time to leave. And it will tell you, based on analytics, predictive behavior, that how long it will take you to leave. So let's say a typical commute from the east side to downtown. If you leave at 7 in the morning, it might take 20 minutes. If you leave at 7:30, it might take 40 minutes. And if you leave at 7:45, it's probably going to take 50, 60 minutes, depending on conditions. And so what's unique about Metropia is that, one, it empowers you to have that information. So, you know what, maybe I'll go downtown a little bit earlier today, have my coffee there. Or if I have flexibility, and we understand that not everybody does, maybe I'll wait a little bit. Maybe I'll go at 8:30. Maybe I'll do a conference call from home, something like that. And so it gives people that information. Then the other very, very unique thing about Metropia is it incentivizes what we would consider good choices. And good choices for us are ones that pull people off the heavy congestion times. So on the app, you'll get points. So if you leave at 7 rather than 7:45, you might earn 50 points. If you leave it, you'll always earn some points. And then if you leave later during congestion, your incentive is reduced greatly. So we still want you to use it because it helps all of our data that Pablo was referring to. Those points can then be redeemed for, we're working with local merchants. Tanya's working and has just signed up several local merchants in each what we call ecosystem that Metropia is involved in, which are right now in Austin, Tucson. We're launching in New York, and we have another number of other cities on the plate, but we try to find local partners so people can redeem their points with them. So we have a coffee shop coming on board. We have a local bakery. We've got some other folks. Proper print shop has come on board. And so you can actually redeem your points and get gift certificates and discounts at those merchants or vendors. And so it's just a big part of the entire ecosystem. So it's very different in that sense, but it's hard to change behavior. It's hard to remember to plan ahead. But if you get in the habit, you can be rewarded for that, as well as what's really important, as Pablo pointed out, we track all the CO2 emissions that are being saved. And so Metropia plants trees. You don't even have to redeem your points, but they plant trees for the number of points you've earned by making good choices. So, and I think Tanya will be able to also talk about another big part of our ecosystem is working with employers. And so we try to look at from a multi-prong approach, and there are no barriers to what we can try to do with the ultimate goal is to make our cities less congested.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. So Mary Beth also mentioned our merchant program. And so we work with local merchants to try to get them to offer incentives to our users in exchange for their points. So they can get, for example, a free cup of coffee in the morning or a free bagel. They can exchange it for a $25 Amazon gift card, a Starbucks gift card. And so the other approach we're taking, in addition to working with merchants, is working with employers. And so we're trying to sign on some of the bigger employers.
One of the things that was mentioned when I was doing the research for this is that you all have been working also on something called a Pioneer Program.
Yeah, so the Pioneer Program allowed us to roll out the app and test it with a few number of users. The goal was to sign on 500 users and to get them to give us feedback so that we could improve the app before we actually launched it to the full El Paso public. And so we launched our Pioneer program in February of 2016, and we tested up until October. So we tested various iterations and versions of the product and made sure that we were getting all of the bugs out, made sure that we knew where all of the construction was in El Paso, made sure that we were routing people correctly. And that was a really successful way to ensure that our app was customized well enough for the El Paso public to be rolled out to everyone.
As we mentioned at the beginning of the program, the fact that apps are pretty much commonplace. People want an app for just about everything. And so our listeners may be wondering, well, how do I get Metropia? Do I have to subscribe to a certain website, or how do I go about getting that app on my phone or tablet, whatever?
Sure. Well, Metropia is free. Anyone can download it in the Apple Store or in the Google Play Store. So there's no cost to using it. We're all already driving. We're spending so much time in our cars every year. It just makes sense to save time and to gain rewards while you're doing it.
And when you're talking about rewards, and Mary Beth mentioned that as well, when you look at it, it seems like this is something that, you know, helps everybody out, the community and the merchants and, you know, the people who are using this app. And one of the questions that may come up as well is, okay, what about people who use carpools or public transportation?
So carpool is another tool that we use to try to reduce traffic. Our app has a mode called the Duo mode, and so it can sense when someone else is in your car with you also using the app, and so you get even more incentive points for carpooling. So that's already in the app. And some of the future plans for the app are we're planning to go multimodal, which means that we're also going to support users who are on bicycles, who are pedestrians, and eventually, hopefully, also riding the public transit. So you can get even more points if you are biking to work or if you're taking Sun Metro or if you're walking.
And by checking down on the app as well, will that be able to help you out as far as like even if I take a bus to work because of some congestion, it might take a little bit longer, or is that something that has not been worked in yet?
Well, we're really just starting to work on the whole multimodal component of it. And so if they're using the app, our goal is to work with them is to be able to say, give them, again, empower them with information to say, you know what, you happen to have a bus stop that is, you know, a quarter mile from your home or, you know, or your work or wherever. So just really integrating all of those forms. And then if somebody says, well, then I have to walk another quarter mile, but showing them the time and then incentivizing for them. So that's what's another unique theme about Metropia. It's not, even though we want people, we need the data from people really driving around to make it successful, because that helps you give the knowledge to other people about the best routes and times. Everything's all connected. But we also, you know, if everybody would start taking public transportation and we didn't need a Metropia app, we would call that a success.
So the information, the data that you all collect, is that sent to different agencies, different businesses in town so that they can work with you all as well?
Yeah. So as Mary Beth said, everything is connected. And so we use the data that we gather not only to understand how to route our users, but we're currently working with local agencies like TxDOT. We're working with the city of El Paso to help them understand traffic patterns so that we can plan better. So, for example, with TxDOT, we're analyzing various different corridors for them around the city. So, for example, some of the data that they're very interested in is the data about traffic patterns on Mesa. So we know that Paisano was closed recently, and they're interested in looking at the effects of the closure of Paisano on Mesa. And so what we've realized through our data analysis is that northbound Mesa is a lot more predictable than southbound Mesa. So on any given day, even during the week, for whatever reason, the traffic on southbound Mesa is not as predictable as it is on northbound Mesa. And so they use this type of data for planning in the next few years. So it's really helpful. Unlike a traffic study, which will only give them data for 1 or 2 weeks, we can give them data year-round. And so it's beneficial for everyone. We're reducing traffic. We're helping plan our streets accurately. We're saving people time. And people are getting incentives in return for something that they're already doing.
One of the things, Pablo, that people have mentioned to me sometimes is, you know, I was driving on North Mesa, as Tanya mentioned a little while ago, because something might be wrong with the freeway and stuff like that. But one of the things that people complain about is the fact that the timing of the lights, as far as the perhaps, you know, 3 or 4 cars go down, then it changes. But not specifically just that problem, but also the fact that sometimes somebody will get in the middle of the intersection, even though the light has turned red. And that causes even more problems. As a traffic engineer, can you give us any insight to any of that?
Well, the reason – this is partly the biggest reason that we work with the MPO and TxDOT and all that is because we give the speed profiles of each. Once eliminating the speed profiles or the speed delays of any of the corridors that we're studying with them, they can actually monitor the lights and prevent this. This is one of the biggest reasons. Besides from that, this type of behavior is not uncommon. It's going to happen every time. People will just look at it as a failure if they don't. They're trying to get there as fast as they can. So so they believe that by doing this, they're going to achieve this faster. But in reality, it's not going to happen unless there's a other alternatives or other solutions to that street specifically. So by monitoring better the I'm not technical way of saying it, is by monitoring the speed delays in those exact corridors, we can achieve this faster. And this is why it's so important for us to work with other entities and to have the most accurate data that we can, because this is not only going to benefit us, it's going to benefit the city of El Paso more than anything.
Tanya or Mary Beth, both of you mentioned about planning and adjusting your schedules somewhat. Our listeners might want to know as far as how soon do they have to let you all know or let Metropia know as far as their morning commute or their afternoon commute. Is it something that they need to do on a daily basis, or how do they check on that to check the conditions and stuff like that? Because as we all know, it's hard to change habits. People get into these certain habits, and it's hard for them to change, whether it be, I'm used to watching a TV show at this time, and if it's not on, it's going to make me really upset, or something like that. So the same thing with, on Tuesday I have to drop off the kids at school. On Wednesday I need to know that I can't go through there because a lot of other people are dropping off their kids at school, so I have to be careful with that. So how much planning is involved in this?
You can plan up to a day in advance. Really, you can also just use the app at the time that you need to leave. But the real benefit is doing it. The real benefit in using the app is planning ahead, because you get to see then, okay, if I leave in 15 minutes, it'll take 30 minutes, versus if I leave in half an hour, my trip might take 15 minutes. And so the real benefit of using the app comes in planning ahead. And so that's what we're trying to do when we're incentivizing behavior. And that's the reason the app gives a user more points when you're leaving at a non-peak hour. The real benefit comes when you can actually see the difference that planning ahead makes. And so you don't have to plan ahead, but the true benefit inherent in the app is in planning ahead.
You can. And if I can just follow up a little bit on that, to your point, is you can plan about 24 hours. You can't do it too much farther because we want the data to be accurate. But it will, you can in the morning, let's say I've got to be somewhere at 8, I got a lunch at 12, I got to be somewhere at 2, and I've got an appointment at 6:30. I can put all of those trips in the morning in the app and reserve them. And then if anything comes up, and it'll tell me then how long they think it would take, but if there's a significant change, it'll also send me a notice. So, for my 4:30 appointment, it will already be in there and good to go. So, again, if you can get in the habit, that, just like Tanya said, it's just the key. And it's tough. I'll tell you what, I constantly get in my car and put in my route, and I'm trying to get in the habit too, and I've been doing this for a while. But I'm in the habit for some things, and other times I just do it right then. But I still always try to use it.
Did you want to add something to that, Pablo?
No, I agree. Definitely the hardest part of this whole process and project is changing behavior. And we understand that even ourselves, that we work and constantly and we're immersed ourselves in the whole project, we have trouble. I know that this is not a day and night kind of thing. So it's a step-by-step process. And more than anything, given that we're getting involved with the port of entry bridges and involving Juarez into our network and all of that, we recognize that there's a lot of room that we still have to work for, but there's a lot of project that we still have to plan for. But it's we definitely have the scope of it, and it's a step-by-step process, like I said.
What about the special occasions? We're getting into the holiday season, and so not that there's going to be a parade or anything. Well, I mean, there is a parade Thanksgiving Day, but also it gets very congested around here when there's a game. There's heavy traffic on Mesa, or perhaps, Black Friday, everybody's going to be going to the malls and stuff like that. So do you have adjustments for situations like that?
Yes, I have a special events update to the calendar and to the whole system as a whole. So, if there's an El Paso Chihuahuas game, there's going to be a specific speed profile for all those streets that are going to be affected. We have a data analysis of all of them. We also have for concerts, for example, for Sun City Music Festival, all of that, especially more the ones that are happening downtown, because those corridors are very fragile to speed profiles. So we have to adjust accordingly. And we have all the data for that and all the events, and we work alongside.
And if I might add, in Tucson, Metropia is working very closely with the University of Arizona for game day events. And so they're monitoring parking lots. And so as a parking lot gets full, your app will show you with, you know, kind of a gradiated color that lot's full, so people don't waste their time going there. And so we're looking at all sorts of options here locally to be able to do things like that as well.
And what about, again, road conditions, perhaps, like if, I mean, it rarely snows in El Paso. It did last year for Christmas or with that. But whether it's rainy or very dusty, that can also sometimes slow traffic.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't know if you remember the rain that happened 2 weeks ago or something of the sort. Most of I-10 was pretty much slowed down to a trickle. So what we did is was to input it in the system, and a lot of the routing was through, adjacent corridors pretty much. But that is part of that is part of my job, just going in and analyzing and putting it real time so that users don't have anything that might affect them.
And I mean, one of the other differences between Metropia and other apps is that we do have a local engineer who knows El Paso, who's from El Paso, who is driving in the same conditions. And so we're able to give real-time data that makes a difference.
And as you mentioned, the developer, Dr. Chu, was a professor here at UTEP in 2000s.
He was a professor, yeah. He has a great enthusiasm for traffic. If I can just tell a quick, funny story, Mary Beth, Dr. Chu happened to be in town one day, and Mary Beth wanted to take him to a Chihuahuas game, and my understanding is that he stood outside of the stadium and watched traffic the whole game. He's a really fun guy. For that story, probably doesn't make him sound very fun, but he has a real love for studying traffic and understanding the traffic patterns. And so, one of the things that's really cool about that is he is willing to take some risks and be really innovative. We are going to be working with the city of El Paso to provide them with accurate bridge wait times. And so we will be expanding into Juarez in the upcoming year. And we're hoping to get lots of commuters who do the binational commute to use our app so that we can accumulate data about accurate bridge wait times so that the city of El Paso will at some point have the ability to reroute traffic in real time in case there's an incident on one of the bridges. Unfortunately, that's a capability that we don't have currently. And so, it is great that Dr. Chu is so enthusiastic about traffic because he's really very forward-thinking, and I think that in the next 5 years, we're going to be doing some even greater things for the city of El Paso and the region.
Well, we want to thank you all so much for being with us here today. And, people are going to say, wow, didn't know there was that much to traffic. And so you helped us out a lot, and we want to thank you, Tanya Chauset, Pablo Bustamante, and Mary Beth Stevens, talking about the new app available for El Pasoans, Metropia. And you can get that at the Google Play Store or at the Apple Store as well. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Felipe Talavera. Our producer is Lauren Terrazas. You're tuned to The Weekend. I'm Luis Sainz.